Now, I've said that Mitrata is primarily a training manual from Icarus. So the question that arises in the minds of at least some of you, perhaps, is, well, what exactly is a Mitra? Perhaps one shouldn't take anything for granted. Perhaps one should explain that. Mitrata is for Mitras, but what is a Mitra? Some of you may be wondering, some of you may be sitting there quite in the dark about this, all these Sanskrit words flying around. Let me explain. Mitra literally means friend. A Mitra is just a friend. Sometimes we say a friend with a capital F. And Mitrata is a Sanskrit word which means simply friendship. Especially it means friendship in the sense of Kalyana Mitrata, as it's called, or spiritual friendship, which can also be translated as beautiful friendship, but usually we translate it as a spiritual friendship. Now, in the FWBO, we distinguish between friend with a capital F in English and Mitra with a capital M in Sanskrit. This is a bit confusing perhaps at first, but one gradually gets used to it. A friend with a capital F in the FWBO is someone who just comes along to a center or comes on retreats just occasionally. Sometimes you see them, sometimes you don't see them. They don't exactly belong. You're just one of the groups that they call in on. Maybe they're still sort of shopping around. Maybe they were born as a Christian. Maybe they're not especially happy or especially satisfied with Christianity. Well, maybe they were born as an atheist and are not particularly satisfied with that. But anyway, for one reason or another, they're shopping around. They're taking a look at the Sufis. They're taking a look at Christian Science. They're taking a look at theosophy. They're taking a look at perhaps all sorts of things. Taking a look at black magic. But they're also taking a look at Buddhism. They're taking a look at the FWBO. So they come along sometimes. And of course, they're perfectly welcome, as welcome as anybody else. But they're just shopping around. Perhaps they're not even just shopping around. Perhaps they're just vaguely interested in the spiritual life. They don't perhaps know exactly why they come along. But they like to come along just from time to time. They just turn up. So they are what we call a friend. They have just that quite limited contact with us, either as a shopper around, or as someone who's just vaguely interested in the spiritual life, or someone who's just a friend in a purely personal way. He comes along because he likes us, and he's not particularly bothered that we're Buddhists. He just likes us. So he comes along. Now, a Mitra, using the Sanskrit word with a capital M, is something more than that. A Mitra, in this sense, is something more than a friend. A Mitra is someone who's not still shopping around. Might have been shopping around, but isn't so any longer. A Mitra, one might even say, is someone who, within the context of the FWBO, fulfills, so to speak, four conditions. First of all, a Mitra is someone who is not any longer shopping around. They might have done a lot of shopping around in the past, but they're not shopping around any longer. They've definitely decided that Buddhism is for them, that the Dharma is for them, or rather that the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha are for them. And they've not just decided that Buddhism is for them, they've decided that the FWBO is for them. So they're no longer shopping around. They've come to rest, as it were. Maybe rest isn't quite the word, but you know what I mean. They've come home, so to speak, to the FWBO, and they're no longer shopping around. They give up shopping around. Now, it's important to understand that we don't ask anybody to do this. We don't expect anybody to do this. If you still want to go on shopping around and just come here sometimes, we're quite happy that you should do that. It's entirely up to you. But a Mitra is by definition someone who is no longer doing this. Someone who is definitely spiritually affiliated to the FWBO, or to Buddhism through the FWBO, and only to Buddhism, and only to the FWBO. Someone who's really made up his or her mind that Buddhism, as presented by the FWBO, is the path that they want to follow more and more intensively. So first of all, a Mitra fulfills the condition, or the principle, if you like, that he or she is no longer shopping around. And then secondly, a Mitra keeps up a regular, even though perhaps modest, meditation practice. Most people come along to a centre like this in order to learn meditation. The centre in fact calls itself the Norwich Meditation Centre. And that might have been the point of contact for quite a number of you. You wanted to learn meditation. Perhaps you weren't, to begin with, all that interested in or concerned with Buddhism. You'd heard about meditation, you wanted to meditate, and you heard that meditation was taught here. So along you came. So a Mitra keeps up a regular meditation practice, either the mindfulness of breathing, or the metta-bhavana, or even both. Now it's important to recognize here, to emphasize here, that a Mitra is not expected to do much meditation. It's not a question of going in for meditation marathons. A regular practice is much more important. And not only that, it's very important that you enjoy the practice of meditation. And if you're sitting there, hour after hour, with aching knee joints and an aching back, and just not able to concentrate, and all sorts of wandering thoughts, that's no good at all. It might be a very noble effort, but it's hardly meditation. So it's important that you should enjoy meditation, and therefore, so long as you're a Mitra, or so long as you're still a novice in the spiritual life, whether a Mitra or not, it's important that you should be able to enjoy your meditation. You must look forward to your meditation. So keep it short, but regular. When I say short, I mean 20 minutes is quite sufficient, if you can do it every day, at least once. If it's 30 minutes, so much the better. If it's 40, better still. But don't think you've got to sit for a long time every day. Just sit for a short time. But as I said, keep it regular and learn to enjoy it. Because if you know it's going to be short, well, even if your back is aching or your knees are aching, it won't bother you too much. You'll know that the agony will soon be over and you can just concentrate on the meditation. But it is so important that you learn to enjoy the meditation. Not only because, well, meditation is enjoyable, so if you aren't enjoying it, you aren't really meditating in the full sense. But because, certainly in the West, certainly for those with a Christian background, religion and enjoyment are not things which are usually associated. We usually associate with religion with gloom and despondency, not to say despair or discomfort. So you've got to sort of undo this Christian conditioning of associating religion with all that is gloomy and difficult and depressing and unpleasant and sad. You've got to start thinking of religion and spiritual life, as certainly so far as Buddhism is concerned, as something which is happy and joyful. Yes, there are difficulties. Yes, there are problems. Yes, you have to put in a lot of effort. Yes, you do suffer sometimes. But the overall note is joy. One might even say the overall note is enjoyment. If you aren't enjoying yourself, one might even say, you aren't really a Buddhist. If you aren't enjoying yourself in the best sense, if you're not happier than the next man who isn't a Buddhist, well, what's the point, one might say, almost, of being a Buddhist? You should live happily, as the Buddhist disciples in the Dhammapada declare that they are living happily among those who are not happy. You should know, well, I'm sure you do know these verses very well. So this applies especially, perhaps, to your meditation. Enjoy your meditation. If you're not enjoying it, something has gone subtly wrong. So make sure that you do enjoy it. Eh? And that usually means keeping the period relatively short, so that it's something that you look forward to. Because if you start enjoying it, then you'll want to prolong your sitting quite naturally. I mean, that's the natural human tendency. If you're enjoying something very much, you don't want it to come to an end. So if you can start enjoying your meditation, well, all your problems are solved in a sense, because you'll be just sitting there. I mean, apart from things like alarms ringing and, you know, the children demanding breakfast and things like that. You'll be sitting there enjoying your meditation, and because you're enjoying it, you'll just want to prolong it quite naturally, quite spontaneously, from 20 minutes to 30, even 40, until your knees start really aching. Huh? So learn to enjoy your meditation. That's really important. Huh? If you can do that, well, you're really starting off, so to speak, on the right foot. Huh? So mitras, meditate every day, regularly, at least 20 minutes, either metta bhavana or mindfulness, whichever you find the more agreeable. And then thirdly, the mitra helps out around the center. Around the center, there are so many, you know, little jobs to be done. Little jobs take time, even though they are little jobs. Eh? And if you can help out, you know, just by doing some of these little jobs, thereby perhaps releasing an order member to do other things which only he or she can do, then that really does help very much. There are all sorts of little jobs. One doesn't have to think very much or look very far. Jobs like making the tea or doing a bit of typing or delivering some letters or repairing something. There are all sorts of jobs of this sort around the center all the time, just needing to be done. And of course, the mitra also helps support the center financially to the best of his or her ability. Then fourthly, and in some ways this is the most important of all, though it comes at the end. Fourthly, a mitra keeps in touch with order members. When I say keeps in touch, I don't mean just in touch. I mean something much more than that. A mitra develops, in fact, spiritual friendship, or tries to develop spiritual friendship with older members. And in addition to that, as a sort of supplement to that, of course, mitras try to develop spiritual friendships among themselves. But it is most important that mitras try to develop spiritual friendships with order members. After all, you can't have much contact with the order as a whole, with the Western Buddhist order as a whole, even though there are only, I think it is 187 order members at present. You can only have real contact, deeper contact, personal contact with just a few people. So concentrate, as it were, on at least one or two of the order members, you know, attached to your center, and try to develop a spiritual friendship with them. Because that will not only help you personally, but by means of that spiritual friendship with order members, you'll come to know more about the movement, more about the order, as it were, you know, from the inside. And if you, of course, yourself as a mitra, are thinking in terms of what we call going for refuge, committing yourself to the Buddha, Dharma and Sangha, then of course you'll need to know order members very well, and they will need to know you very well too, because you are asking, when you ask for ordination, for nothing less than to be admitted, so to speak, to their ranks, to be included in, well, I might say, the magic circle of the order. And those who are within the magic circle of the order know it really is very magical indeed. So the closer you can get to order members, the closer you can get to the order. The closer you can get to the order, the closer you can get to the Dharma, because order members are practicing the Dharma, and perhaps they're practicing it more intensively than you are, And the closer you can get to the Dharma, the closer you can get to the Buddha, because the Dharma is the Buddha's message, the Buddha's communication. The Dharma is the Buddha, as it were, speaking to you from all those centuries ago. Well, what to say all those centuries ago? Speaking to you, as it were, here and now, beyond space and beyond time. So, Mitras develop spiritual friendship with all the members. And one might even say, one might go so far as to say, that spiritual friendship is the most important thing in the spiritual life.